Good evening. We are very pleased to be able to be here with you this night. Now, I would just like to begin by reading a few words in the book of Amos. Just part of a verse in Amos, chapter 4 and verse 12. A very well known verse. And breaking into verse 12, you read these words. Prepare to meet thy God. Just breaking in, just that small part of that verse. Prepare to meet thy God. Now the cry of Amos to Israel in his day was one of warning. And he cried the message of the Lord unto the people of Israel and said, prepare to meet thy God. And tonight, the message which has been laid upon my heart for you this night is the same message as that of Amos. It's prepare to meet thy God. Now, just over a year ago, I changed my job. I took a new job. Now, the company that I work with has a motto. It's used in its advertising campaigns quite widely. And that motto is, preparation is everything. Preparation is everything. Well, tonight, maybe not the way that they would think, but that message is clear. Preparation is vital. For the message of Amos said, prepare to meet thy God. Three questions would then arise. Why should I prepare? How should I prepare? When should I prepare? For you would think, people pay no heed to the fact that they must meet God. There is no preparation made, although the warning is quite clear throughout God's word that we must meet God. As boys and girls, we are told in school to prepare for our academic qualifications, to learn and to prepare to pass the exams. And in college and in universities, they prepare in doing the coursework to get their degrees. And in work, we prepare so that we can provide the proper work to make sure that the work is done properly. And indeed, preparation in life is essential. We prepare to go on holiday. We prepare for birthdays and Christmas. We prepare for our holidays. But we don't prepare for eternity. So why should I prepare, comes the first question. Well, a wise man of earth said this. Failure to prepare is to prepare to fail. And quite simply put, that has been proved to be true. If you don't make proper preparation, things fall to pieces. Nothing goes right. But if you prepare properly, things fall into place. Things happen as they should. So why? Why should you prepare? Well, let's face it. For those of you who have been married, how much preparation went in to that one day? But surely, it was an important day in your life. And you prepared long and hard for that day. And there was many pressing things coming in, but you had to prepare to make sure that everything went well on that day. If we prepare for the things of life, For the things that are happen and are gone and become only memories, how much more important is it that we prepare to meet God, that we prepare for eternity? God says a few things about himself. In Leviticus, he tells the people of Israel to be holy. For I am holy. Twice over in two verses in Leviticus 11, in verse 44 and 45, the Lord says of himself, I am holy. If you were to look in Malachi in chapter 3, the Lord says of himself, I am the Lord, I change not. God is unchanging. What he was yesterday, he is today, and he will be tomorrow. And he was holy, always and ever shall be holy. He is righteous and just, and always will be righteous and just. And as a holy God, he cannot abide sin. He cannot stand sin. He must judge sin. Why? Why should we prepare? Because we must meet a righteous, holy, unchanging God. And why does that affect you so much? Well, God's word again states quite clearly in Romans 3 that all have sinned. Not some, not a few, not even many, but all. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you were to read earlier in the chapter, you would read words such as, there are none righteous. No, not one. There are none that seek after God. We are separated from God. So vastly separated because of sin. Sin in each and every one of our hearts, from the very youngest to the oldest. It has blighted our lives. Now, because of sin, we must prepare. Because God is the same as he always has been. The God that I worship today, the God whom I serve today, is the God that Elijah served, is the God that Moses served, is the God whom Abraham trusted, is the God whom Noah believed. And when Noah found grace in the eyes of God, it was because the world was so sinful that God had decided he must judge. And he told Noah, build an ark. And Noah, in obedience to the word of God, built that ark. And God judged the world. Many tell you that the Noah story is a myth. I tell you it is true. And the God that judged the world in Noah's day is the same God whom I serve today. And that God must judge sin. Will judge sin. Why must I prepare? Because I have sinned. And God is the same God that Noah served. And the wages of sin is death. Romans 6 and 23. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Oh, there are many who will tell you that death ends all. That we are as the animals, and when we die and are put in the ground and go to dust, and that's the end, there is nothing else, that is the close of the matter. I tell you, it is not so. It is appointed unto man once to die. There are others who tell you that death is not the end, that there is rebirth and reanimation. That's nonsense. For man will die once, as it is appointed unto man once to die. There is not reincarnation. A life after a life after a life, building up to a better state. That is nonsense. Man's state is sinful. And because of this, there is death. And death once to die. But after this, the judgment. And God will judge. And remember what was said, He is unchanging. And from Enoch to Noah to Abraham to Moses to Elijah, the same God. The same God reigns and will judge. So why must I prepare? For I must meet God, a holy, righteous, sin-hating God. That's why I must prepare. How should I prepare? I mean, when I'm going on holiday, we prepare by setting aside the right clothes and packing the bags so that when the work is finished, all we have to do is get the bags together, put them in the car, and away you go, and that's that. You can forget about work for a week or two. And you prepare to enjoy yourself, to relax, to have a time of recuperation. So how do you prepare to meet God? Well, in work, we are told in preparation of the five P's. Perfect preparation prevents poor performance. Well, let me tell you, perfect preparation provides permanent peace. Permanent peace with God. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. How can I prepare? Well, let me tell you, the preparation, the payment, and the hard work has been done. And it's been done by God for you. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Not to give a good example. Not to show us how we should live. He is the perfect example. That is the shining light. But that light only shows up our darkness and our waywardness and our failure. He didn't come to point the way, but He came to be the way. He said to His disciples in John 14, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. That where I am, there ye may be also." Think of it. I go to prepare a place for you. Let me tell you some of that preparation. He went to Calvary's cross. The Lord Jesus Christ, the sinless, holy, spotless Lamb of God, God's only Son, went to Calvary's cross for you, for me. He was sinless, the only sinless one. He could turn round and ask, "Which of you convinceth me of sin?" I could never ask that. For there would be too many fingers pointing, saying, "You said, you did, you rigged, you didn't go." All those fingers could be rightly pointed at me. But He could say, "Which of you convinceth me of sin. None could point the finger. His life was a spotless life. His life and walk on earth were without fault. Not a single word had to be retraced. Not a single step. Not a word out of place. Not one. His was a sinless life. And when Pilate had him, and remember, Pilate, that Roman governor, a wicked man in his own way, but a man who knew how to find fault. If there was a single thing wrong, that man would have found it out through means that we would not like to think about today in the world of human rights. But he could turn round and say, I find no fault in this man. I find no fault in this man. The sinless Son of God. And yet he went to Calvary. They cried out, crucify him, and he allowed them to take him there. And believe you me, they couldn't have taken him if he had not allowed them. When they came to the garden to arrest him, and he asks, whom seek ye? And they would answer, Jesus of Nazareth. He answered two words, I am. And they fell at his feet as dead. At his word they fell. And there's another part in God's word which tells us, if he had spoken the word, 12 legions of angels would have descended. And believe you me, those angels would not have taken a single one of them alive. All of his enemies destroyed. But he didn't utter a word. He allowed them to take him. He allowed them to treat him so badly. We can't even imagine the physical sufferings he went through. How they beat him with their hands. They smacked him with the back of the fist. They covered his face in mockery and beat him and said, prophesy who smote thee. They took him and they whipped him with a Roman lash so that his back was lacerated and the flesh was hanging from it. They beat a crown of thorns upon his head. And in mockery they bowed the knee and said, Hail, King of the Jews. And then they made him pick up that cross and carry it to Calvary. Remember what I've said. They've whipped his back. His face is swollen and marred and beaten and bruised. There is blood flowing from him. They've broken his skin all over. They've dragged the hair from his face. They spit upon him. He's barely recognisable as a man, and yet they make him carry that cross up the hill. The agonies are more than I can imagine, and yet he did it, and he bore it for me and for you in silence. And indeed, when he utters a word, listen to the word he cries, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now that's the love that God has for you and for me. God's word tells us that cursed is everyone that hangeth from a tree. And he hung from that tree and became the curse for you and for me. I told you that God must judge sin. God is righteous and holy and does not change and must judge sin. Well, let me tell you that he judged sin in the person of his Son. And he placed on the Lord Jesus Christ on that cross the penalty for your sin and for mine. And there, he bore it to the very end and cried with a loud voice, it is finished. Nothing was left to be done. He'd done it all. and listen to the word, God's word. God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died that we might have life. He died that we might have eternal life. So how can I prepare? How can I prepare to meet God? By believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that is yours tonight. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He prepared the place. He prepared it by his own sacrifice. He died that you and I can live. He has prepared the way to heaven if you will accept him as your Saviour. I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. If you will accept him as your Saviour, if you will believe that he died for you, that he paid the penalty for your sin, then that is all the preparation you need. For when he said, I go to prepare a place, he also told them, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. How can I prepare? By accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your own Saviour. The work that he has done is your work, and you will know peace. Perfect peace with God. When should I prepare? Now. Now. When should I prepare? Well, it's no good to prepare after the fact. You must prepare before. When you prepare for your holiday, it's leading up to the holiday. There's no use preparing halfway through or after it. And when you prepare for your wedding, it's the leading up and the months leading towards it. When you prepare for your exams, you prepare before the exam so that you're ready to take it. So there's no use preparing after it. So when should you prepare? Now. God's word is quite clear. Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6:2. Now is the accepted time. Now the day of salvation. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, the wise man says in Proverbs. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. But more importantly, now being the accepted time, tomorrow being a mystery, round the corner, we don't know what's going to happen. We have now. And God's word tells us of life. It's like a vapour, and it appeareth and is gone. That's how quick life goes. When you're 5, 6, 7, if you're told to wait an hour, it seems like an eternity. When you're 18, 19, 20, an hour passes fairly quickly. When you're 30, 40, 50, an hour is no time at all. In fact, when you're 40, a year has passed and you've hardly noticed it going. It passes so quickly. Time just flies past. And we have only got now. Now being the accepted time. Listen to the word of our Lord Jesus Christ. The last book of your Bible, the book of Revelation, the last chapter of that book in chapter 22, the Lord Jesus Christ speaks. And in verse 7 he says, behold, I come quickly. In verse 12 he says, behold, I come quickly. In verse 20 he says, surely, I come quickly. Another translation puts it, I come soon. I am coming soon. How soon is soon? Well, when I was saved in 1980, I was sure I was coming back that night. And let me tell you, that was only 28 years ago. I'm positive he's coming back soon. We might not see the end of this meeting. He is coming quickly. He is coming soon. So when have you got to prepare to meet God? You've got to do it now. Now, because we don't know what's round the corner. We haven't got an hour. We've got now. We don't know what might happen. We've got now. A brother said, I was supposed to be here earlier in the year, but I was prevented. There was a little accident on the road. We came off fairly unscathed. Unfortunately, others died. That could have been so easily and so quickly me or my wife. But we were preserved and we are happy to be here. But if it had been me, I know where I would have been. I have prepared to meet God. And when I meet him, I will meet him as my Father. And he will welcome me home. Are you ready to meet God? Have you made preparation? We only have now. In Matthew 25, 10 virgins are waiting for the bridegroom. 10 virgins are waiting to go in to that day of celebration. 5 are called wise and 5 are called foolish. The wise had taken extra oil for their lamps. The foolish had not. When the cry went out at the midnight hour, the bridegroom cometh, the wise had enough oil for their lamps. The foolish did not and had to go and buy. And when they came, they were too late. And they found that the door had been closed and they were barred from that celebration. Don't be like the foolish, because the warning went out. Watch, therefore. Watch, be ready. For you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. He has promised to come quickly. He has promised to come soon. We don't know the day and we don't know the hour, but we know that it is soon. Are you ready? Have you made preparation? Well, the cry of Amos is still the cry tonight. Prepare to meet thy God, for meet him you must. You will either meet him as one prepared and be welcomed home, or you will meet him as the judge, and he will judge sin, and you will be cast into eternal flame, separated from the love of God forever. That is not God's desire. It is not ours. In prayer we heard that God is long-suffering, and this is true. For God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And tonight you have been offered that choice. Tonight you have been offered the choice, salvation. The preparation has been made. The price has been paid. And the choice is yours. You have the time now. Don't be too late. Don't find the closed door with you on the outside. Accept him tonight. Enter in. Be saved and know security and peace with God. Prepare. Prepare for what is really important. Prepare to meet thy God. Now we'll just close with a short word of prayer. Our God and Father, we come again and give thee thanks for this time spent around thy word. We thank thee, O our God, for this message. We think again of the solemnity of the words, prepare to meet thy God, the warning which it sends out. But we thank thee, O our God, that the preparation has been made. The price has been paid by the Lord Jesus Christ upon Calvary. And if any trust him and believe in him this night, they can be saved for all eternity. So we would ask thee to part us with thy blessing. But if there be any tonight who know not thy Son as their own, may they trust him now in the accepted time. May they accept him as their own Saviour, and may they know peace and security. For this would be our prayer, and we would ask it in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.